الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم، ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن، ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب، بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان، ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us as social beings. We are social creatures. Generally, a man cannot live on his own. He requires interaction. He requires socializing. He requires company. So, we are interacting with people on a daily basis. The reasons for interaction may differ. Sometimes it will be a spouse, it will be our children, it will be a business interaction, it will be some family members, it will be in-laws, it will be neighbors, fellow musallis, and the list of interactions go on. However, this is something that we do all the time, interaction. And unfortunately, many a times in our interactions, we encounter issues and problems. And with the passage of time, unfortunately, these things are just increasing. They're getting worse. There's problems in nearly every relationship. Everyone is complaining about some issue or the other. So, there is a surah of the Quran Majeed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, which gives us very important guidelines, very important principles with regards to having good and a harmonious relationship and interaction. This is Suratul Hujurat, which is also known as Suratul Akhlaq, the surah of good character, the surah of akhlaq, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a blueprint with regards to a Muslim social life. There's various principles that have been mentioned in the surah. Obviously, the short time that we have does not allow us to go into the different messages of the surah. In the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain principles with regards to how we will prevent a problem from occurring, prevent some type of issue happening. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in detail how issues should be resolved. Dispute resolution. Allah explained in the surah. And then Allah goes on to mention certain things that aggravate a situation, that makes things worse. And this is what I wish to highlight on: simple practical things, which most of us encounter these things all the time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us regarding doing such things, because these things will make the problem worse. If there's no problem, it will create a problem. And if there is a small issue, it will make the issue very big. And sometimes the issue becomes so big that then it becomes very difficult to resolve the issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. That, O people of Iman, no one or no people should mock others. No one should mock another. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ, because it is very likely that the person you are mocking will be better than you. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. And similarly Allah says, that some women should not mock other women, because it's possible that those women that they are mocking are better than them. Now, very unique aspect in this ayah. Actually, two unique things. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the men separately and the female separately. Normally the Quran has a general address that addresses the men and women. There are very few places in the Quran where Allah addresses both separately. One is the issue and the aspect of safeguarding the eyes, lustful gazes. Allah addresses the men separately and the women separately, showing the importance of this issue. And here in this ayah, relating to mocking others, Allah addresses both gender separately. There's no third gender. There's no third gender that Allah speaks about. You're either male or female. There's no in between. So, Allah says that women should not be mocking other women, because it's possible that the ones that they are mocking are better than them. So this is the first thing, explaining the importance of this. A separate address for the males and separate address for the females. And then Allah says that some women should not be mocking other women. Allah didn't speak about men mocking women and women mocking men. Why? Because in Islam there is no intermingling. There's segregation. So there won't be that informal relationship between a strange man and a strange woman for a woman to be mocking a man. Allah forbid, today things are gone upside down. So we'll have all these kind of unnatural issues, and then they have unnatural consequences as well, and disastrous consequences as well. So Allah says that women should not be mocking women. Why? Allah says, Asa ay yakunna khayran minhun. Allah gives the reason for both. You mocking that person, it's highly possible that that person is better than you. And you mocking that person, you think you're superior. When you're mocking someone, you're looking down at that person. You think you're superior to that person. But in reality, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is far better than you. And when our eyes close, and we in the akhirah, and the reality then comes before us, then we will realize what fools we were. We're mocking a person whereas that person is better than us. Now this mockery is such a thing which aggravates a situation. And how many times it happens that when there's some problem, there's some issue between two individuals, then immediately they begin to mock each other. They begin to make jokes about each other, maybe in their own circles. But then what happens? It worsens the situation. Things get worse. Then to reconcile it becomes too difficult. Why? Because those words now become a barrier. Those comments and those statements become a barrier. Take a marital situation for that matter. So now there's some issue between a husband and wife. And then they start blaming each other. They start mocking each other, mocking the other person's family. The husband is saying, you know, your family is like this and your family is like that. Now later on, after some time, they want to reconcile. The comments that he made and the mockery that he got himself involved in, now this becomes too difficult for the other party to overlook and for them to forget and to forgive those kind of comments that were made. So the problem may be small, but this now makes the problem very big. It worsens the situation, it aggravates the situation. So this is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops us from and prevents us from. That if you want to have a good relationship, good interaction, then don't mock others. Sometimes it's a good relationship, friends having a very good relationship, but then we don't know our parameters. We don't know our boundaries when it comes to joking, or in our language, fluking. And then we fluke the person, we joke with the person to such an extent that he took it bad. He took it personal, and now the relationship is soured. Why? Because it became mockery. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cautions us with regards to this. The next thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't find faults with each other. Don't look for the next person's fault. Now again, take the situation of a marriage, and there's some problem. So now each spouse starts to dig the faults of the other, and starts pulling out the faults. And then not just pulling out the faults, but then broadcasting all of that, telling their family, you know how she is, she's like this and like that, and the same goes the other way. And now there's a whole lot of filth that's moving around. That's dirty laundry that's being aired in public. And the situation that could have been sorted out now becomes too bad. To sort it out, it becomes too difficult. Allah says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't find faults in each other. The word that Allah used is, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. I'm translating it as each other, but the literal translation is, don't find faults in your own self. Now why does Allah say, don't find fault in your own selves? Because firstly, when you start finding faults in others, then you expose yourself to become a victim and a target that others will look for your faults. Because you started off a war, and everyone has their own skeletons in their closet. You looking at that person's faults, and you picking on his faults, and you broadcasting his faults, then that person is going to do the same. So it actually results in you taking out your own faults. And the second reason is, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't find faults in yourselves, because Muslims are like one brotherhood. So when you are finding faults in your brother, it's like you're finding fault in your own self. It's like you're finding your own fault. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Again, when there's a problem, then we go. We are very quick to jump to the stage of finding faults in others. And many a times our finding faults results in problems. Unfortunately, our minds have become such, our nature has become such, that we only can find the faults in others, we only look for the bad in others. The ulama give an example, a simple example, but it's so practical. They say that in a garden, a nice beautiful garden, you will get some very nice, if it's an orchard, you'll get some very nice fruit there, very tasty fruit. Some nice citrus smell you'll get from that fruit. Then you may get some nice flowers and roses in the garden. So you'll get all the good in the garden. And then with that you will get the manure that's there. The compost that's there, which is filth. Now, one is a bird that goes in the garden. That bird will go look for those fruits. Look for those nice smells, those nice fragrances. And one is a swine that goes in the garden. The swine will only be attracted to that filth. Allah forbid, if our nature is filthy, if our hearts are dirty, we won't be able to appreciate the good of people. We won't be able to appreciate the good in our wives. We won't be able to appreciate the good in our business partners. We won't be able to appreciate the good in our in-laws. We'll only look for the problems. We'll only look for the faults. Not because there's only faults. Because our nature is so filthy. Like that swine, his nature is filthy. He's only attracted to that filth. The good is there in the garden, but the person won't appreciate it. So they may be good in the next person. We won't look for that good. We won't appreciate that good of the person. Because our nature is filthy. So Allah says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't look for faults in people. There are so many ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us that even if the person has a fault, cover up the fault of your brother. مَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا. So many ahadith of this nature. The one who conceals the fault of another. سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will conceal his faults in this world and in the akhirah. We all have our faults. And we all want to be forgiven. We all want to be overlooked. We all want our faults to be concealed. One is in this dunya. Maybe we know how to cover our tracks in dunya. But on the day of Qiyamah, there's no covering of tracks. There our faults will be exposed ala ru'usil khalaiq, in front of the entire humanity. Then our own children will be seeing what filth we were involved in. We want to be covered on that day. Allah says, if you want to be concealed on the day of Qiyamah, then conceal the faults of others. This trend of naming and shaming, which has become common, this is not something which is part of the mizaj of deen. It's not the temperament of deen that we name and shame people. The person may have made some mistake, and that person is, he feels bad about what he's doing. But now we manage to see that person doing that, and we take a picture of it, and then we go and name that shame, name and shame that person. This is not something which a Muslim does. There's a lengthy incident of a very pious person. Ahmad bin Mahdi rahimahullah, who passed away in the year 272 AH. Just for us to understand to what extent people went in the past to cover the faults of people and to protect the integrity of people. Before we go to that incident, there's another famous person, Hatim Asam rahmatullah alayhi. Hatim Asam was a very pious person, a great muhaddith. He's known as Asam. He's known as deaf, but he wasn't deaf. He wasn't deaf, but he's known as deaf. Because one day a woman came to ask him some questions, some matter of deen. And this woman, perhaps she may have been an old woman, and she passes wind. She passed wind, and obviously she felt very embarrassed. She passed wind in front of a great person. And there was, it was a time of modesty, a time of shame. So when she passed wind in front of him, naturally she was embarrassed. Hatim rahmatullah alayhi acted like he couldn't hear. And he asked, speak louder, I got a hearing problem. So he acted like he was hard on hearing just to protect that woman, to save that woman from embarrassment. That wasn't it. He didn't only act on that day. For the rest of his life, he acted like he was difficult on hearing and hard on hearing just to save that woman from embarrassment. Because if he carried on normal the next day, the woman will realize that this man here, he just played a prank on me. Or he just did it for my sake. So for the rest of his life, and right till today, he is known as Hatim Asam. Why? Just to save that woman from embarrassment. These are the hearts of highest servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to cover people, trying to help people, assist them. So this Ahmad bin Mahdi rahimahullah, one night a woman comes to him, and she says that I am in a very big problem, and I ask you to help me. She says, I was raped. I was raped, and now I am pregnant, I am expecting a child. But to save myself from embarrassment, I told the people that I am married to you and you the father of this child. And she goes on to say to him, فَلَا تَفْضَحْنِي أُسْتُرْنِي سَتَرَكَ اللَّهِ. Please don't embarrass me. Cover me, conceal me. Allah will conceal your faults. So this pious person heard her out. The woman goes away. Months pass. Perhaps he may have not even remembered. After a few months, now she gives birth. All of a sudden he sees the Imam Sahib from the masjid is coming with a few brothers from the masjid. They coming to him to congratulate him on the birth of his son. So then he remembered it was this woman's story. So he didn't even say that, no, it's not my son. He acted and pretended that this was his son. And he accepts all the Mubarak Badi, all the compliments, he accepts it. And the next day, he goes to the Imam and he gives him two gold coins. And he says to the Imam that I am no more with that woman. I'm no more with that woman, giving the impression that now he is divorced from her. So take these two gold coins and give it to her as expenditure for the child. Where is exposing the person? Now he's giving two gold coins because he assumed that he's the father. He's pretending to be the father to save her from embarrassment. He says, go give her these two gold coins. And thereafter, every month without fail, he sent two gold coins for that child. After 2 years, the child passes away. Now the woman comes to him with all those gold coins and says to him that سَتَرَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا سَتَرْتَنِي. May Allah conceal you as you have concealed me. Here's all these coins, you can take these coins. He says, no, these coins were a gift from me to that child. Now you, the heir of the child, you will inherit that money. It doesn't come back to me. And they went to this level to conceal and cover the faults of others. The issue is, unfortunately, respected friends, is we too busy looking for other people's faults and we can't see the faults that are within us. We need to introspect the amount of faults that we will have. It will blind us from the faults of others. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu used to say that one of you sees the speck of dust in the eye of his brother, but he forgets the log that is on his own eye. Meaning he's sitting with so major problems. And every one of us are sitting with such major problems. But we're very quick to see the small fault of the next person. There was one of the last kings of India, Bahadur Shah Zafar, is a very famous poetry of his, where he mentions the same thing. He says, Nert ki hal ki jab hame apni khabar, rahe dekhte logo ke aib o hunar, pari apni buraiyo par jo nazar, to jahan mein koi bura na raha. He says, as long as I did not know about my own problems, I didn't know about my own spiritual maladies, I didn't know about my own faults, then rahe dekhte logo ke aib o hunar, I continued looking at the faults of others. He's like that, and he's like that, and that person is like that, worried about everyone else. He says, pari apni buraiyo par jo nazar. But then when my eyes fell on my own faults, on my own problems, on my own mistakes, he says, jahan mein koi bura na raha, then I couldn't find any bad person in the world. Because I was the worst. I was the one who has so much of problems. Unfortunately, today we have become policemen. We have become people who are in charge of everyone else's problems. And when last did we even address ourselves and think that I have this problem, and I have this problem, and I need to address my issues? Respected friends, like how we stand in front of a mirror. And that mirror, we stand in front of it, why? To see our physical defects. So I can sort out the physical defects that I have. So there's one strand of hair that's growing here, I need to pull it out, I need to tweeze it out. When I stand in front of that mirror, I will see that. So one is the mirror to see the physical defects. We need to look at the mirror to see our spiritual defects. And all the problems that we have lingering within our hearts, all the filth that we have there, and focus on rectifying these issues. Inshallah, we won't have problems looking at other people's faults. Time is running out very, very quickly. Two other very important aspects that Allah speaks about among the other things. But two I wish to highlight before we terminate. Allah says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. For the benefit of those who have come later on, we are discussing those issues that Allah mentions in Surah Hujurat, which cause problems and discord within societies, within relationships. And we all enjoy relationships with other people, we all have interactions. And these issues, which unfortunately have become so common issues, they are wreaking havoc in our relationships. Whether it's a marital relationship, whether it's a social interaction, whether it's a business relationship. Because of these issues, unfortunately, we are encountering major problems. So Allah says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن, that stay away from many types of suspicions, many types of bad thoughts, stay away from it. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْ, Allah says that some of these thoughts, so stay away from thoughts, thinking about other people, because many or some of these thoughts result in sin. You are having some suspicion regarding the next person, whereas the person is not like that. How many times it happens? Relationships are soured just because of some suspicion. So let us put ourselves as the victim so we'll understand it. So the person came late from the masjid. There was a program in a masjid. He came late. He came home late. His wife says, no, no, you got someone else. You went to visit someone else. And maybe she saw on his call log that there was a number without a name. Yeah, who's this number? And then she went and checked it on Truecaller. One lady's name came up. You see, there's a lady phone you. Maybe that was a wrong person, dialed the wrong number. And the person was innocent. But based on suspicion, and what happens thereafter? What a major problem based on a suspicion. I'm not talking about where you genuinely in a problem. Huh? I'm not covering up for you. So here the person is innocent. The person is innocent. But just because of a suspicion, and what happens out of that? The same happens with us. The suspicions that we have regarding another person, we just assume that this person is like this. And then maybe that person, we just assume this person doesn't like me. And maybe that person came out from the masjid and you made salam to him, he didn't hear your salam. Or he was so busy, he was in such a rush, he didn't have the time to come and meet you nicely. Yeah, see, he don't like me, this chap. I know he doesn't like me. And then it goes beyond that. Just mere suspicion, there's no reality whatsoever behind this. Allah says, إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ, that these thoughts, these suspicions, they are sinful. And they create such problems in our relationship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us in another part of the Quran Majeed that when you hear something bad about someone, it's a lengthy incident, just giving this part of it. When you hear someone something bad about someone else, لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا. Our responsibility is to have good thoughts regarding the next person. We don't jump to the wrong conclusion. We don't just say, no, this person must be like that. Yeah, no, that fellow, yeah, his family is like that. He must be delete. He's just assuming. Got nothing to do. No reality whatsoever. Our responsibility is to have good thoughts. If we had a good thought regarding a person and he was actually, he was wrong, we won't be taken to task for having a good thought regarding him. But if the person was right, he was innocent, and we thought bad about that person, then we're going to be taken to task for that person, for thinking bad about that person. So why should we put ourselves in problems unnecessarily? And then the last point, which is a very common point, unfortunately, may Allah save all of us from this. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. The aspect of ghiba and backbiting. How many times when there's a problem, there's a small issue, and then the ghibat starts, and the backbiting starts, and the slander starts, and a whole host of problems start just because of some small issue. So Allah says, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. That does one of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You won't like that. Why Allah resembles it to the flesh of a dead brother? Because a dead person, when his flesh is eaten, then it's no harm that's caused to him. There's no pain that he goes through. You backbiting that person, he doesn't know about it. It doesn't cause him any harm. If you think that you're bringing the person down, you're not bringing that person down. It doesn't cause him any harm. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. So Allah says that avoid this. The few aspects that Allah spoke about will aggravate situations and causes major problems in our relationships. One is mocking each other. Then looking for the faults of others. Allah spoke about name calling as well. We didn't speak about it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about having bad thoughts regarding others. Suspicion regarding others, and with regards to ghiba and backbiting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from these kinds of spiritual maladies that are causing major issues and major problems in our interactions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with harmonious relationships. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.